I pray that I may speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if there's something that you're grateful for today. Is there gratitude in your heart this morning for some blessing of this life? Today's service, communion, is also known as Eucharist. It means thanksgiving. I wonder what you may have come here to give thanks for. Maybe your life is full of many wonderful material blessings that you don't want to take for granted. You know, you need to remind yourself that these things are gifts and graces, and you ought to be thankful. Maybe you rejoice in your relationships, family, friends, church members that God has placed in your life to bless you and enrich you and give your existence meaning. Maybe you want to acknowledge that these relationships are not possessions, but gifts, and come here to be thankful. Maybe you recognize when you focus your heart and mind in prayer that your very life is a miracle of grace, a gift from God. Your faculties of feeling and thinking, your capacities to touch and experience the amazing possibilities of life. These things did not have to be. You and I did not have to exist. We have been made and redeemed in Jesus through the pure loving kindness of God. Is that not a reason to spend our time in thanksgiving and praise? Thanksgiving's one of those themes that run through Scripture like a silver thread. It sometimes pops up in a spontaneous, unpredictable, unprovoked outpouring, like Jesus praising his Father in the Gospel for the glory of the good news in those words from Matthew. I thank you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Our Lord is consumed with gratitude for the generous simplicity of the Gospel. You don't need to be wise and learned to grasp the simple, life-liberating truth of God's love and grace. In fact, intellectual complication can often get in the way. Jesus thanks God that a child can know the power and reality of the Father's presence in their life, and his gratitude is poured out uncontrollably. If our faith is alive, if our heart is beating to the rhythm of God's love, then we too will know such spontaneous moments of thanksgiving as we're struck by the wonder of God's generosity. Our hearts and minds are lifted out of the mundane and utter a paean of praise. Sometimes, though, we need structure for our thanksgiving. We need to bring some training and discipline to our gratitude. For we humans can be very forgetful creatures. Bound up in our own devices and desires, we can neglect the one who gave us life. And in our Old Testament reading, we found David giving his people a framework for their thanksgiving. What has happened is this: the Ark of the Covenant has returned to Israel. It was in the possession of the enemies, the Philistines, for quite a while. But now the ark is back in the hands of the children of Jacob. The ark symbolizing the presence of God, the pledge of his goodness, the promise of his covenant faithfulness. It's back where he belongs. And at first the thanksgivings for this is spontaneous. Shouts of joy, noise of celebration as they carry the ark back home. If you know the text, you might remember that David performs perhaps the first recorded example of dirty dancing in human history as he cavorts himself in front of the procession, much to the scorn of his wife. But here in chapter 16, he institutionalizes that thanksgiving. The temple musicians are charged with the work of praising God formally, ceremonially, liturgically, for what God has done. This ritual is to be repeated so that the people won't forget God's mercy. It's a song to stir them to remembrance, to grip them with gratitude, now that they've been reunited with the life-giving presence of the Lord. Our Eucharist is an institutionalized thanksgiving, a weekly ritual telling us to remember to be grateful. Like me, you may well forget what God has done for you in the throng and press of weekly life. So we come to recall and pour out our gratitude and praise as the church in this service makes itself remember. But better still, could we bring thanksgiving into our daily praying? Take time to count our blessings individually as we talk to the Father in the morning or the evening. Take time to take stock and find that warm feeling that gratitude brings, growing and glowing as we ponder gifts and graces God has poured into our lives. For Paul in our epistle helps us see how thanksgiving can be so fruitful and beneficial in the living of the Christian life and in the building up of the Christian community. Thanksgiving is a sign and an aspect of God's activity among his people. It's a sign of God's grace, touching and transforming human lives. We heard Paul inviting the Corinthians to be generous, to share with him in sending support and funding to the church in Jerusalem. It's a token of love for their brothers and sisters, and a symbol of the fellowship that unites the church in every place. But Paul tells them that their generosity will overflow into thanksgiving. It will provoke and inspire praise and the giving of glory to God. It will be a sign of God's activity, both in the lives of those who give and in the lives of those who receive with gratitude. For God's grace in this giving and thanksgiving is what has touched them all. So as I ponder these scriptures this morning, I pray that God might make me more thankful in my life. My own experience, as well as the Bible, tells me that when I'm thankful, I'm a more human being, a more humane being. The thankful me is a better servant of God than the grumbling, grumpy, resentful me that imagines the world hasn't given me my due. When gratitude seizes me by surprise, or when I practice the discipline of thankfulness, I begin to be more aware of grace in the world. I begin to cooperate with that grace from God and try to share it. And if my spiritual blindness and hard heart don't reassert themselves too quickly, I can even be a means of God's grace to others, leading them to make thanksgiving to the Lord. David and the people were thankful because the ark was back among them. Can we be grateful this morning for this place and the community that gathers here? For you, we are the temple of God, the place where Christ has made his home. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. This morning we heard Paul thankful for the Corinthians' cooperation in the gospel, for their giving in the name of Christ. Can we be grateful this morning for the people whose prayers and time and love and giving and talents and gifts and service show that God is still at work in his world today? Can we be grateful that we too might be inspired to play our part in that giving that shows the life of God? Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. And we heard this morning Jesus thankful for the generous simplicity of the gospel. Can we be grateful this morning that I and you can turn like children to the Father in faith and penitence, hope and trust, and receive a love that's infinitely large but infinitely simple to know. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. I long that that silver thread of thanksgiving that we find running through the Bible might be a silver thread running through our lives, that we might spend our short journeys through this world in praise and thanksgiving, rejoicing in the infinite grace of God.